good. Welcome back. And I hope all of you can go to the homepage and look at guests. Look under the second hour tonight, Harry Cooper. And there are two links under Harry's name. And I'd like all of you to get ready to pull that first link up. We'll look at that. Then we'll take a look at the second link as we go through the hour as well. Harry is about to go on a secret information and research mission to Argentina, most specifically. This is going to be an event that, if it comes off properly, and there's no reason why it shouldn't, it's been planned extremely well, will shake up the riffraff and dirtbags out there who continually try to rewrite World War II history and, as we know it, what happened after World War II. If they can make a buck on it, they got no problem doing it. It's the ones that aren't making money on it that are going to cause the most trouble. This particular expedition will prove, without any question of a doubt, that Adolf Hitler and his wife, Eva Braun, went to, with Bormann's assistance or direction, to Argentina, lived there for 10 years, moved north for the rest of his natural life, whatever that may have been. We're not sure of the exact date. He is apparently buried down there as well, as is Eva Braun, who didn't die all that many years ago, if the information that Harry has is correct. Welcome back, Admiral. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing fine. I'm still listening to the riffraff and dirtbags. I think I know who we both mean.
Yep. There are a lot of them out there, and it's amazing. I guess when you own the media, you can do whatever you want, and that's what they do.
Unfortunately, that's the case.
Yeah. Okay. Now, let me go to guests and make sure everybody's had time to do this. Just scroll down at Rents and look on the left-hand side where it says guests. Dean Henderson, we just heard, brilliant hour with Dean, just amazing. Harry is on hour number two tonight, and then John Barber will be on next hour. Heading out on a secret mission, Harry Cooper. We don't want to give too much in terms of particulars. We're not playing games here. There are reasons for that. But the pictures I want you to pull up are the first group. It says Argentina and a famous residence. You want to pull that up, Harry, or do you want to pull up the interior shots? What do you want?
It's your show. Whatever you want to do. We can buzz through them all real fast, or
right,
go through the interior shots, whatever you think best.
Let's go through the interior shots first. So that's the second link. We've never seen these. We've shared the other photos with you before. Very interesting indeed. They are of a residence on a beautiful piece of property called Inalco in San Carlos de Bariloche, Argentina. And it is a remarkable thing to see. The second link is photos of Inalco interiors. Inalco is what, Harry?
Inalco is a resort that was built by Mercedes of Argentina. It was completed right about at the end of the war. Ostensibly, it was supposed to be a retreat, a recreation area for their, for their executives, et cetera.
Right.
Fishing on a huge, big, beautiful lake,
sure,
or skiing in the Andes right behind them, or maybe someplace to take their secretary on a weekend.
And then the wife on the next weekend.
That's right. Yeah, I used to work.
But they don't stay at the same hotel.
That's right.
Oh, good to see you again, Mr. Cooper.
Different. Hey, when I was driving race cars, I had this buddy Sal Tavella, who also raced, and I wasn't married at the time, and I'd come up with a different little dolly each race, and Sal would say, "Hey, that's not the same girl you had here last week," and so I'd tell him, "Yeah, well, it's not the same girl I'm going to have here next week either." But those were different days. Now, Inalco was built,
and don't forget it. Harry's not the only one participating in that lifestyle. It takes two, okay? So don't forget the distaff, as they sometimes refer to women. They're involved just as much as the men. It's just people.
We had, there were groupies.
Always.
For the Grand National Racing, as there are for rock concerts and everything.
Sure.
You know, everybody enjoyed it. They got into the pits. They got into able to hang out with the racers. We went. We ate in really, really nice restaurants. So it was.
Everybody had a good time. Okay.
Oh yeah, it was. And I was a whole bunch younger back then. Gee, my last race was 40 something years ago. Anyhow, Inalco was really built as a retreat for Hitler and Eva Braun. From the time it was built until the time they moved in, nobody else lived there. When they left in 1955, which was around the same time as Juan Perón got knocked out of office in that coup, and he was providing heavy, heavy protection for Hitler, Eva Braun, Martin Bormann, and a whole slew of Third Reich people that were down there. They all had to find other ways to stay secure, and so Hitler and Eva Braun left in 1955.
Right.
But nobody has lived in Inalco since 1955. As you know, and some of your listeners know, I was there in 2008 and again in 2009.
Uh-huh.
And there are many Johnny Come Lately people that have been there, and they go walk around the place and take pictures,
mm-hmm.
including this idiotic hunting Hitler show where they had some guy dressed like a seal or a frog man had to sneak ashore.
Really?
We didn't sneak ashore.
I don't watch it. That's funny.
I don't watch it either. I've just it's been reported, but the. When I was there in 2009, there were about 10 of us in my group. We had two rented cabin cruisers, small ones. We just beached them on the sand, got
uh-huh.
off, and walked up to the house.
Uh-huh.
But to the best of my knowledge, I'm the only one that's got interior shots of
which
Inalco,
we will look at in a couple minutes, yeah.
Right. Because I knew how to pick locks and let myself in. Never touch anything, never take anything except pictures. Took a lot of pictures. And I've done some film. We did some filming there, too, but I'm darned if I can find where I put those tapes. They're here someplace.
Mm-hmm.
If I look hard enough through all this stuff here, my office, my archives look like
Harry
an explosion in the public library.
Yes, he has an uncatalogued Smithsonian there is what he's got.
That's a good way to put it. If I look close in some of these dark corners, I might even find Jimmy Hoffa's body.
That's funny. All right, I'm going to rewind and go back 7 days. Another idiotic story hit the so-called mainstream media. Hitler definitively died in 1945 in Berlin, according to new study of his teeth. All right. Now, this is another... by the way, this is an old story. I heard about this long ago. His teeth.
20, 25 years ago.
Yeah, okay. French researchers claim to have put an end to conspiracy theories surrounding the death of Adolf Hitler after a study of his teeth proved he definitely died after taking cyanide and shooting himself in the head in Berlin. I wonder which he did first.
I don't know. It almost sounds like a suicide in Chicago. The only thing, he didn't throw himself on the railroad tracks, too.
That's true. Now, pull up the pictures. The second group, the photos of Inalco interiors, all right? And you click on those, and they'll get larger for you. It's kind of like a magical thing that Roberto does. All right, the first picture, I want you to go ahead and click on that.
Yeah, the black and white.
The black and white photograph of some people at a table in midday in a hotel having lunch. And I when I put the story up, I ran that stupid-ass story about Hitler's teeth, and I put as the title, could someone please explain if Hitler died in 45, where this picture of him in 1947 having lunch with his friends, the Eichhorns, in a hotel in Argentina came from?
Yeah.
I didn't get any response. Funniest thing.
Another question somebody should ask is, where's this jawbone been all these years?
Right. It's all ridiculous.
They're
never going to stop. It's just what they do.
And the interesting thing, Jeff, it all stays kind of quiet until we came up years ago with hardcore proof in our book, Hitler in Argentina, that he did not die in the Fuhrer bunker. Then all of a sudden, this was like 20 years ago, 15, then all of a sudden we get this huge rush to disprove what we've done, including the Southern Poverty Law Center, otherwise known as the Spitlickers, trying to disprove it.
You know, what's funny is that there's no poverty at the Southern Poverty Law Center.
I know it. They don't help poor indigent people either, I've been told.
And I've heard the same.
So anyhow, then it dies down for a while, and then as our books start selling better, Hitler in Argentina is a bestseller, incidentally. Now all of a sudden they've come up with this goofy story about the teeth, which surfaced about 20 or 25 years ago, as you recall, and it was shown to be bogus at that time. But now all of a sudden it's back, and one of your competitors there, not much of a competitor because they're second rate, is at Coast to Coast. One of our members sent me an email and told us that one of the so-called hosts there said that and named us by name and said maybe shark hunters are going to have to revise their conclusions about Hitler's death or however it was worded. But at any rate, these people don't have the backbone to call me up. And I've talked to George Knapp. What a clown. I've talked to him. I've emailed back and forth with George Noory. They know who I am. They know I exist. But it's easier for them to sit back there and snipe than to pick up the phone and call me and say, hey, look, what's your comments on this?
Even the most rudimentary of research is mocked. They won't do it.
Yeah.
They won't call you. So, okay, let them do their thing. That's all you're going to get. The sad thing is that some of your members and many others who actually looked at that program as being some kind of a paragon of truth and care and concern. It's not. It's an entertainment program.
Right, and some of my members have referred to them as a gatekeeper.
They are gatekeepers, no question.
I got the one from our member telling us that, and I got three emails from people who are not members. I don't know why these people think they can get anything across. As you saw in our Hotmail some days ago, I was thanking them for setting me straight. I do this 12 hours a day since 35 years ago I've been doing this.
Right.
And
you climbed out of the race car and into shark hunters, just about.
Right. Yeah. They pop up and say, oh, no. Everybody knows Hitler died in the bunker because that's what we were told. So I emailed back to these three people and said, if only I'd known about you earlier, I wouldn't have had to spend two decades, tens of thousands of dollars, God knows how many man hours, I would have just listened to you. However, we've had dozens of members email in laughing about this new so-called discovery of the teeth, which is bogus. It's Mickey Duck. That's an old racing expression.
Mickey Duck.
Mickey Duck. Which is, you know, every time somebody, and this is true, just as psychosomatic with me, I guess. Every time somebody mentions Coast to Coast, immediately in the back of my mind, I hear MICKEYMOUSE. You know, because like you say, they're entertainment, and whatever rings the cash register. And
I think it always has been.
Way back in after Knapp interviewed me, and I just looked on the website today. They have really good things to say about me and my interview a couple of years ago. But as you know, the day after the interview, when Knapp told me it was a really excellent interview, one of my members told me, or several of my members told me, that he was apologizing for having me on his show.
Yeah.
And so I emailed him and asked him why, and I was a little harsh. And he told me to, quote, stick it up my ass, and he also called me a dick. So, I mean, this is the height of professionalism.
Are those journalism terms or something I've missed?
I don't know. I've heard stuff like that when I was driving race cars.
Mm-hmm.
But this is supposed to be professional journalism, and it's a whole lot like George Stephanopoulos.
I pretty much stay away from others in the industry. I don't have a lot of good things to say about the industry per se. It's kind of a bathtub for people who are looking for a little ego recognition, and they got their rubber ducks and they play.
Not only ego recognition, but I got to believe that Knapp and Nouri, they get paid for what they do on the air. And
they get paid very well.
Okay, that's what I heard that too. So I'm doing something wrong. I don't get paid for nothing.
Remember, Harry? Nice. Where do nice guys finish?
Yeah, I know. For shark hunters, I don't even get a salary at shark hunters. I used to pay myself a salary of $250 a week before the Obama plague hit.
For 12 hours a day? That's you gave yourself a steal. Wow.
Yeah, I know it. And before I left my old job and came to do this full time, nothing else, I was making between $4,000 and $5,000 a week.
Mm-hmm.
But we live and learn. Right now, I've been doing shark hunters for 35 years, 20 of it at least, full time with nothing else. I don't get a salary, but I've just had so much fun doing it.
Yeah,
it really is.
Well,
work.
How can you walk away? You're an adventurer. How can you walk away from an opportunity to walk in the footsteps of real history and discover things that have been hidden from us and obfuscated for 70 years now? Let's look at the pictures, the interior of Inalco, all right? We looked at the black and white picture, the first one. That's Adolf Hitler and the icons. You can see them. There are three or four other pictures taken at the same time. 1947 is the best guess of that vintage of picture.
Yeah, this was in the annex
at the Eden Hotel.
Eden Hotel.
Yeah, it was
and
still it's still there.
When I was there a couple of years ago. I stayed in that annex.
There you go. Well, you've been in that hotel in no man's land. That's the big one. That's where God only knows how many meetings. Big meetings there were there. There had to be
up in Paraguay.
Hundreds, maybe.
Yep. Beautiful place.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know how they stay open. It looks like they got rooms for a couple of hundred people. Huge place. And when we were there, we stopped for lunch. There were four of us in my group. And there was one couple sitting at another table. That's it. We didn't see anybody else. How can you keep the doors open with that?
Didn't you talk to the waitress there?
Oh, yes, I talked to that nice waitress, little old lady, and I talked her into opening up the meeting room for me, and it's being used today, obviously, but I went into the little pantry kind of thing, which was the control area, the electrical room, and the switches and the fuses were like I see in the old hotels in Germany and Austria, same exact stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to asking her, and she said Mengele used that place more or less as a base of operations. He was there in and out a lot, and she showed us the two rooms that were his. If he came by himself, he was in room 26 because it was a single. If he had other people with him, which I assume would be bodyguards or whatever, he would have room 28 because it had a double bed and three singles. So, and she said she saw him there meeting with Bormann and Gestapo Mueller and Hitler and Alberto Stroessner, who was the dictator of Paraguay at the time. So anybody who thinks they died in the bunker,
Well, let them think what they want. Okay, all you can do is present the reality of it. And that those pictures are on Harry's website at sharkhunters.com under previous tours. What would it be listed under? South American tour?
No, it would be listed as Argentina. Some of them would say South America, yeah. And it gives the dates.
Uh-huh. And so this was just a year ago you were there, right? Year and a half ago, something like that.
Coming on a year ago, yeah, because it was in June, July, and I about froze my fanny off because that's winter down there. And this time I'm going again in June. 1 week from right now, I'll be sound asleep in my room in Buenos Aires. But this time I'm going down to Inalco, which is 700 miles further south, which puts it about as far south, I think, as Anchorage, Alaska is north. And we're right in the dead of winter down in Argentina. That's a hell of a place for a Florida boy to go.
Mm-hmm. All right, you're going to make it. This is a big. Oh, yeah. This is a big trip, and we'll have more to say later on about it. But the information down there that Harry is in pursuit of, and will in all likelihood come back with, is going to turn this whole Hitler idiocy upside down and straighten it out once and for all. Never mind the bestseller. This is going to take it even further than that. And plus, he has a new book coming out as well.
So. You bet. I just put the final photos in it. As a matter of fact, while I was waiting for your producer to call me, I was putting the last of the photos into it. And it's going to Tiffany in a couple of days to design the book cover. And then it goes to the printer. This is the third in the Hitler trilogy. First was Hitler in Argentina. Second was Hitler and the Secret Alliance. Now this one is called Hitler's Spy Web in South America. And I use the term web because...
Most people don't know Der Spinner. That's right.
Yeah, Der Spinner means the spider web. And that's kind of a branch of Odessa,
right,
which was very active after the war. Still active today.
Still is.
Yeah, and so is Der Spinner. And this, we open almost all our files that we've never opened before. The Delta files, this was an organization in Germany headed up by our old friend Pizarro, who just passed away in December.
Yeah.
And they were researching heavily into this, and a lot of the things we've posted and we've reported to our members, now we're putting in all the foundation that went into these findings. That's in that book. One of our SIG agents, SIG means Shark Hunters, Eagle Hunters Intelligence Group, code name Mabuya, which is a Swahili word meaning fox. She had worked for the U.S. State Department, and she sent us all sorts of stuff on an outfit called SOFINA, which is an acronym for Society of Some Darn Thing or Another, but it has to do with the Bilderbergers.
Bilderbergers. And Bilderbergers, okay.
Bilderbergers.
So we're getting looped right up to the top here. Hold on, Harry, I got to do a break. Come right back, and we'll take a listen and then take a look at the photos of the interiors of Inalco, never seen before. Back in a minute. More are answered on this website, cancertruthinfo.com, and sign up for their free mailing list and stay updated with the very latest in ultimate cancer cure information. That's cancertruthinfo.com. Okay, and back with Harry. All right, let's look at the photos of the Inalco interiors. The second picture up there, go ahead and click on it and enlarge it. Look at the gorgeous view. My, my. That's a view fit for very high-level people. That's beautiful.
Right out your front door, right out your window.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, the next picture is a little bit further back. Different window, different view, but also
right.
Very beautiful.
This is, I don't know. It's
dark, but yeah.
Nicer if it was lightened up, but it appears to be from a side room.
All right, who is this Nahuel?
It's
never mind.
One of my people.
All right, good. That was a good catch too. Next picture is interior of the house. The walls appear to be some kind of I wouldn't say knotty pine, but some kind of indigenous wood from the area.
Right. They've got a unique kind of wood down there. It looks similar to knotty pine.
Mm-hmm.
It is a lot like oak, and it's pretty solid stuff.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, very good. All right, next picture, broad daylight. That's the front lawn looking right out from the window that we looked through earlier, looking right out at the lake.
Yep.
Now, this area was... just so you know, that promontory you see in the water ahead, I believe that's the one that had the guard tower on it, yes?
Well, a little bit around the corner from that.
To the left?
Very
okay.
Close.
Yeah. This was very heavily guarded for the 10 years that it was occupied by Hitler and Eva Braun. Make no mistake about that. This was a secret that very few people knew. Even J. Edgar Hoover didn't know. He was brought into the loop later. Around 1948, something like that. Probably not happy about it either, but we have memos from him ordering all agents to cease all efforts to locate Adolf Hitler in South America because he's not there.
Right, and that's because I believe there was a quid pro quo.
You bet there was. 10,000 German scientists came over under Operation Paperclip. That's a hell of a quid pro quo.
Oh, plus all the nuclear stuff. Like, as you know, I was a thermonuclear weapons specialist. And in our history, we saw that the U.S. was not doing well until Germany surrendered. Then suddenly, our scientists got real bright.
Real quick. They also came into acquisition of refined uranium.
560 kilos of uranium was on board that submarine.
Weapons grade, and we think that may have been the second nuclear explosion over Japan.
No, the first one.
First
Hiroshima.
One. Yeah. Got it. Okay.
It was Hiroshima.
They were lagging with their own, so that would have been Nagasaki number two. Okay.
Yeah, Nagasaki was a plutonium bomb, which is a whole different world. That's another whole.
These are two
show.
Completely different weapons. So keep that in mind, too. Oak Ridge was working on apparently one, and the other was fueled by what was captured on the U-boat. That's what
I
we think.
I think so, yeah. A lot of people have that same theory.
Right. All right, another interior picture looking out a window. Very strongly built. That house will be there in 200 years. It's built like a brick.
It's pretty solid.
Look at that. And then the last picture, again... very pretty. A little fence out there, indigenous trees, and there's that lake. That's a huge lake. Huge.
Yeah, and it goes down to, in some places they said it's like 400 meters deep, which would be about 1,000 feet, I think.
Oh, yeah. I wonder
and they've
if
got
there's...
their own little monster in the lake, they call it.
Oh, thank you. That was my question. I wonder if they have a legendary lake monster there.
Yeah, they do. The lake is, the name of the lake is Nahuel Huapi. And so they have their little monster called Nahuelito. And so I've been chugging around on that. I had been going around on that lake for hours and hours and hours. And I asked my guide, how come I haven't seen Nahuelito? And they said, oh, no, he only shows himself to locals, not to foreigners.
Okay,
that's handy.
Is this a tongue-in-cheek folklore kind of a thing, or are there actually people who have claimed to have seen an aquatic family?
I personally think they're just spitting into the wind because I've never met anybody who claims they had seen it.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, there are a lot of, we'll call them lake monsters. They're survivors from the great age of the dinosaurs who didn't die out. They had fish, they were in the water, they were safe, and they're still there. And many lakes have photographs, not just historical legend, but tons of eyewitnesses, too. Just that's around the world. That's not just here, you know, or in Scotland. Okay, the next link of pictures under Harry's name, Argentina and a famous residence. All right, that's the first link. So pull that up because we've already looked at it, but there are some things to take a look again and understand that this was not just a couple of people living in a house in the woods on a huge lake in southern Argentina. This was an extremely well-organized, very secure home site for Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun, and there were multiple buildings on the property where the staff, caretakers, and such security was involved heavily. These people were watched very carefully and protected.
Yeah. And if you look at the first one of those, the one that says "be an angel,"
mm-hmm.
we need some more help because aside from what you've helped with, which is going for a specific cause, we need about another $3,000. Otherwise, I have to go borrow the money.
Keep in mind, all of you, that this money that Harry's talking about is for something that is unprecedented, all right? That's all I'm going to say.
And it's tax-deductible.
Yes, it is unprecedented research, and when he comes back with the goods and it gets taken care of and processed and so forth, it's going to shake everything up.
Yeah, and if anyone who donates $250 or more will get a CD with all the photos we take on it.
Oh, my. Oh,
yeah.
Great.
And
great.
Also a certificate, which that and a buck or two will get you an order of fries at McDonald's. But it's also tax deductible because our other organization is a 501c3.
Right.
And remember, nobody gets paid at Shark Hunters, so this goes my air ticket down there, which is almost $1,100, and then when Martine and I fly out of Buenos Aires to Bariloche, that's another $200 apiece,
right,
plus the taxi running around down there in Bariloche
and other assorted costs. We don't. I'm not playing games. We just can't at this point disclose anymore.
Right.
We will soon enough, and if you all out there have any ability to help, and a lot of you have, I won't say deep pockets, but you've got pockets, you can come up with maybe $500. We just need five or six of you and this whole and you will be acknowledged in
yes.
the final product, believe it. You will
get
big screen acknowledgement, okay? So because it's more than appreciated and more than important, and I was able to do what I was able to do very gladly, and it wasn't something I would do with anybody else. I just don't do that kind of thing.
But much appreciated,
Yeah, this is crucial. Well, we've hoped to put this together for several years now, and it finally happened.
You're going to have one heck of a show when I get back.
All right, well. And by the way, if any of you do want to contribute, I wouldn't have any problem at all with having you as a guest on the program. If you'd like to talk about what you've been told about this operation when Harry gets back, you're more than welcome. Talk about Shark Hunters, whatever you'd like.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Fun. Sure.
And if your listeners want to just send an email to us at sharkhunters@earthlink.net, we'll be happy to send them a free copy of our magazine that goes to all our members. You get it. And it goes to members in 77 countries. So I'll send one free. No strings attached.
Very nice. Very nice. Okay, let's look at some of these other photos and just remind you that for 10 years, the man who died in the bunker and was burned to death out in the pit in the garden above lived in this home and was constantly, I would imagine, being visited by Bormann, by Mengele, by many others, by all the greats from that era. On that side of the ledger, who were down there, they would visit.
Yep. Until 13th of June 1962, when he died.
7 years after leaving this property. If you take a look at that enormous table, picture number 18, it would be row 3, right dead center.
In love with that table, aren't you?
Well, that table, that's a pretty neat. I've never seen a table like that. But if that table could talk,
wow!
I mean, they had some dinners around that table. I'm sure that were amazing.
Yeah, that's the old style too. Look at those two monster beams that are holding up the second floor.
Yeah, yeah.
That place was built to last.
It's a brick.
Yeah, I think they ought to donate it to us. It'll be Shark Hunter's winter headquarters.
How could they go wrong? After what you find out, let me rephrase that. After what you certify down there, that house could become an enormous draw. Not like the Eagle's Nest, but it would be a hell of a draw. And, think about it. Tourism. Money.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, of course, certain people would want to buy it out just to blow it up.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's that too.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. I think there's still enough clout with the organization down there that wouldn't be allowed to happen. Let's hope.
It's still a lot of people down there that served in the SS or their children or their grandchildren.
Right.
Mostly SS, but there are some flyboys down there too.
Okay, and if you look at the furniture around and take a peek, let me see here. Which picture here would show the furniture the best? Third row, second one over shows, and let's go, third row, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 over shows you a wide angle shot of the primary living room area, which we think still has the same furniture, right, Harry? We think that may be...
I was down there, it did, but
maybe vintage,
been some years.
Vintage 1950s furniture, it looks it.
Looks like, yeah.
Sure. Kind of like the furniture in your place.
Well, mine is vintage Salvation Army.
Yeah, just kidding. Okay, so there's some furnishings that are still there and nobody's moving that table, I guarantee you. It's not going anywhere.
So you're just obsessing about that table, aren't you?
That table is awesome. All right.
Hey, I'd love to have that table too, but holy smokers, how do you move it? That thing literally has to be 1,000 pounds.
Yeah.
There's a way. Some serious heavy wood.
There's a way. All right. Now,
a whole bunch of people.
Well, they have. It should stay in the house. It doesn't need to go anywhere, obviously.
Yeah.
Last row, second picture, third picture over is the bathtub. Now, in my opinion, that's probably an updated bathroom. I can't prove it. It could be 1950s, but the bathtub shell that sits in that foundation that's got the tile around it on the front has, see the armrests on it?
Yeah, that's a little more modern.
I think it's my 70s, 80s.
Back in those days, I remember from my grandparents' house, they had the big old iron, cast iron.
Yeah, the bear claw.
With the claw foot, right, and right. It's all covered with porcelain.
Right. So there you go. And
as a matter of fact, if you look real close, right in the center of it, there's a little black dot. I'll bet you that's a jacuzzi vent.
I'm looking at it with my magnifying glass. I don't think so.
Okay.
It's too small, and it doesn't have any surrounding housing, which it would have. But good guess. Good guess. You might be right. Maybe it's just a vent. not a nozzle, you know?
Could be. I don't know. I've got a 20-something inch monitor here.
Look at the floor tile. Probably original.
Yeah, it's pretty beat up.
Yeah, but the tile on the wall and stuff appears to be newer. It's got some reflection.
It looks newer.
Looks newer. So somebody may have been at some time.
It's picture number 24.
Yeah. Okay, now let's go back to row number 5 and take a look at pictures 1. And then we'll go to 2 next. All right, those are closets, aren't they? No, they're shelves on the left. I don't think that's a closet. Or is that a bedroom?
I'm trying to follow along with you and remember, not just because you have it on row 3 or whatever doesn't mean everybody else does.
Yeah, picture 22.
22, okay, there you go. Hanging closet, I guess.
Looks like a hanging closet, but there's no dowel.
Okay.
So maybe they took it out. All right. But look at the wood. That is very unusual wood. It's very pretty. Very nice.
Pretty common down there.
Yeah. Also, look at the door. It's open, but look at the construction of the door. That's an indigenous wood door.
Yep.
It's framed long planks, and very interesting. And the floor, of course.
And you can pass it at the courtyard.
Outside, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get to the bed. Oh, let's look at the fireplace first. Picture number 23.
23.
This is one of two enormous fireplaces, right?
Well, the two that we've taken pictures of, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And off to the left of that, you see that white square in the wall, white rectangle. That's where the radiator had been, but it's gone. Remember I showed you in some of the earlier pictures, there's a little building outside, a small building that has the furnace in it that runs the steam pipes into the house and through all the radiators.
Interesting how the ceiling is painted yellow.
Yeah, I'm wondering, that probably came later.
I think that's a repaint.
Yeah.
I can't see that as being something that the lady would like.
Yeah, it looks a little garish.
All right, let's go to, oh, to heck, we only have a couple minutes left. I got to get to where are the beds? There they are. Row 3, second picture over, picture number 16. Two of the, they look like looks like a double bed with a single bed next to it.
That's the way it looks, yep. Looks like somebody's been gnawing on the bedpost there. It kind of beat up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Closets could easily be original. Yeah. Again, it's got a yellow cast to the color on the ceiling.
We'll find out. What I'm going to ask you and your listeners, come up with whatever questions you want me to ask the fellow I'm going to be talking to out there, a guy who knew Hitler for some years.
I've got a bunch, too.
Good. And your listeners can send questions to us, sharkhunters@earthlink.net. Send us the questions, and let's see what history we can find here, because I think we're going to find a bunch more than what we already know.
And 1, 2, 3, 4, row 4, number 5 from the left, another black and white picture at the annex. That's the picture.
Yeah.
I mean,
if you
can't honestly look at that and say, well, chances are it looks at least 90% real, you're just not being honest. That's it. I mean, there's only one man that looked like that, okay?
That wasn't
a double down there.
No, certainly was not. And if you're still in doubt, well, put out chocolate chip cookies and milk on Christmas Eve for the fat guy that's coming down your chimney with a bag full of toys.
Not too. All right, when do you depart, sir? Don't give me the flight number, please.
Well, just as well, because I don't even know it.
Good.
this coming Friday.
Okay.
And that's an overnight flight. So somewhere around 8, 9, 10 o'clock in the morning, I'll be landing in Buenos Aires. And by about noon, I will be in my room trying to get a nap because there's still jet lag. Not quite as severe as going to Europe. That's a six-hour change.
Right.
But going down there to Argentina, it's a three-hour change.
And the speaking of Europe, the next two patrols are set up for when?
October. The very last Saturday in September we begin. We go for 2 weeks into October on the Southern Patrol. And then 1 week immediately after that is our bunker patrol down there in the Berchtesgaden area with Jeff Carson leading us.
Hundreds of new pictures.
All right. You bet.
Okay, Harry, listen, again, if anyone would like to help out, you will be, believe it, liberally acknowledged and thanked for this. So, sharkhunters at earthlink.net. Any other way you want them to contact you for if they want to help?
Well, that's best. Otherwise, they can call at the at our phone number. Just go to sharkhunters.com. Our phone number is listed.
Okay.
Call us or email us. Send a carrier pigeon. We need all the help we can get.
All right.
Because our main angel, Jack Goodyear, he passed away about 5 months ago.
Well, maybe another angel will appear, all right? You've got a lot of them out there in your organization. If everybody in the group would just send $10, you'd be home free.
I'd be able to get there, yeah.
Okay, so there you go. All right, we will talk before you leave and talk while you're down there. So
sounds like a plan.
All right.
I'll set up an interview if you want with me and Lawrence DeMello.
Very good. All right. Take care, Harry. Thanks.
Have a good evening. Good night, everybody.
Harry Cooper, After History. And this is going to be big. Okay, be right back.